Okay, it's about 1 o'clock, so let's get started. Just to make sure everybody's in the right place, this is the COSI forum, COSI aircraft forum. Everybody's still saying, that's good. As many of you are probably aware, there's been some things that have happened at scale recently. I've been getting an awful lot of questions. I thought I'd make a couple of comments before I start. The first thing was, it was an announcement a couple of, might have been a week and a half ago, that scale has been sold. And what happened was Northrop Grumman purchased the 60% of scale stock that they didn't already own. For the past 7 years, they've owned a substantial portion of scale. Other than some stock changing hands over here where all the people are and work and do things, nothing has changed. And nothing will change. Bird is still in charge. He's running the show. And we are told that there will be no changes from coming from Northrop Grumman, and that they bought us because they want us the way we are. So that's a good thing. So hopefully that answers a lot of people's questions about that. The second thing is a lot more painful. As many of you probably heard, there was an explosion at a test at scale yesterday. Three of my coworkers were killed, and three others were seriously injured in the hospital. So it's a little difficult for me to concentrate right now, but there's nothing I can do from here. There's probably nothing I can do if I was back there. So all we can do is hope that their families are alright, and hope that the three that are in the hospital pull through. Sorry to bring it down like that on people, but again, a lot of people coming up to me because it's been on the news, it's been in the newspapers, and so people are asking a lot of questions. I don't know very much. I'm here. I think even back there, they don't know very much. Don't know why it happened. Don't know exactly what happened. Just that it's obviously pretty bad. Okay, so trying to get back to happier, nicer stuff. The first thing we're going to do is show a movie that has been put together by Pearl Sanders and Paul Drexler about COSIs. It's made for aircraft spruce, and it's for sale. The aircraft spruce booth, either with by itself, I think for $15, and with the info pack for a little bit more, you get a slight discount if you buy them both. I've seen this. It's a wonderful video, and let's see if I can get the technology to work here. Let me get this started. So that was Paul Drexler over here. You want to stand up? And Pearl Sanders. So that's available at Aircraft Spruce. Now let's see if I can get this thing to... There we go. I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. People here are new to the COSI community. Not very many. Okay, so most of you know what's going on here, and they're either building one or flying one or just want to heckle me. I'll try not to go. I've done this presentation a few times before, and I'll try not to spend too much time on the introductory stuff, since most people probably know it. And I want to leave enough time for Chris Esselstyn's presentation later. Since that's probably why most of you are here. So what am I going to talk about? Well, quick introduction. What's a COSI? A little thanks to Nat, who this year is not here. Last year he showed up as a surprise, but this year he's up in Minnesota visiting his kids for the summer and will not be showing up. You already know that aircraft screws don't the plans. Now, why would you want a Cozy Mark IV? A little bit about the safety record, the cost, where to get support for building or flying, how many are there, who's making parts now that Brock is out of business, a little bit about my building experiences, just some pointers about techniques, tips, and tricks, some trip examples, airport examples, and then there were some questions last year about just doing a little bit of explanation about the structure of the aircraft and some common modifications, either approved or not, and some futures, conclusions, and Q&A. So who am I? My name is Mark Zeitlin. My biography and resume are on the web. I've loved airplanes since I was 3 years old, and I've built zillions of model airplanes. Tried not to fly them too much because I wasn't really good at flying them. So they ended up sitting on shelves in the basement, but they looked okay. I did my thesis on the design, construction, and testing of an electromagnetically launched model glider for the National Magnet Lab. They were looking into replacing steam catapults on aircraft carriers with electromagnetic railguns, and they needed to shove a model plane off of their model railgun. So that was, I got to build a model airplane for my master's thesis. So it was like, who could ask for more? Built a Quickie Q2. And I've got a Cozy Mark IV out in the home-built camping area with now 510.9 hours on it. Flew out here from Tehachapi, California in 10.4 hours on Tuesday. I started and administered the unofficial Cozy Builders webpage and the Cozy mailing list, which are both online. And I work for Scales, as I said earlier, as a mechanical engineer. And right now I'm in charge of transitioning the spaceship and mothership prototypes that are being built for commercial operation, transitioning those from prototyping into production for the spaceship company. So, as you saw in the movie, a Cozy is a derivative of the Long Easy. Nat evolved it from a three-place plane in the late 80s to the current four-place in the early 1990s. Ken Murphy, who's here somewhere, has Nat's original prototype of the Mark IV, and Aaron Hollingsworth bought Nat's plane a year and a half ago, and that's the plane you saw in the movie, and so that's still flying as well. It's a canard, fairly obvious. It's got the big wing in the back, the small wing in the front. It's a four-place, nominally, or a 2+2, depending on how big you are, or the people you want to put in it are, or it's a two-place plus a ton of baggage. Some of you may have seen pictures on the web of Wayne Hicks and I coming out here in 2003 with a pile of stuff in the back. Last year I flew out here with two other guys in the plane and three people's camping stuff, tents, sleeping bags, knapsacks, computers, because you have to have your computers when you come to Oshkosh, and just a pile of other stuff. I was amazed we managed to cram everything into the plane with three people and all that stuff for a week's worth of camping. There's some aerodynamic explanations on the web. Nat's 2005 form differed from his earlier forms in that he spent a lot of time doing an intro aerodynamics lecture about canard airplanes and the Cozy in particular. It's very interesting, very informative, if you're not familiar with canard aerodynamics. This is Nat and Shirley standing in front of their airplane at Oshkosh a number of years ago. He is a designer, he is now retired, and he told me yesterday that he now has 10 hours on his Jabiru. He didn't fly it up because he didn't feel like that was enough to be out of his phase one testing, but does it work great, but there's nothing that compares to a Cozy, and he wishes he hadn't sold it. Yeah. Anyway, so Nat's having a good time. This here is one of the things I wanted to point out was the testing that Nat did on these airplanes to ensure their safety. What you see here is a big tube that goes right through the front seat back, all the way forward and back. There's a motor in there that drives a weight so that you can change the center of gravity while you're flying. And Nat did this in order to do a lot of deep stall rear CG testing. There were some issues with lower winglets and with CG position, and he went through a lot of testing with with a test pilot to figure out exactly where the CG range should be. And I give them a lot of credit for this because there's very few aircraft that you'll find out here, kit or plans, that have had this kind of testing done on them.
Jim Patton was the test pilot.
Jim Price, I believe.
PATDO.
Okay. Aircraft Spruce now owns the Cozy Aircraft Corporation, and they sell the plans. You can get them over here at Aircraft Spruce. They also sell parts, as do other vendors. So why would you want a Cozy Mark IV? Well, the first thing is, you got to want to build. This is a plans-built plane. This is not a kit, and it's not, you're not going to throw this together in 500 hours. This is going to take 2,500 to 3,000 hours to put together. You got to want to build a plane. You got to look at your use model comparison. What do you want a plane for? You want to land on sandbars and go fishing in rivers in Alaska? Not the right plane. You want to go fast and go far? This is a plane for you. You're going to look at the economics of the situation, carrying capacity. You want 2 seats? You want 4 seats? What kind of safety features are you looking for? And are you either comfortable with or happy with using composite fabrication methodologies? Some people don't like it. Some people would rather buck rivets. That's fine. You know, each person has their own preferences. The safety record of the Cozy is very good. There have been no accidents caused by any structural or aerodynamic failure of a properly built and flown Cozy. And in fact, that goes for any and all Rutan derivative canard aircraft. Very easies, long easies, Cozies, Percoots, E-racers. If they're built for the plans, they do not break. They do not operate in a manner that they're not supposed to. Since 1989, there have been 11 reported accidents in the United States. One in Canada, one in Mexico, a couple in France, a couple in South Africa. There have been a number of unreported, I don't even want to call them incidents, I think the NTSB calls them occurrences, but by definition they're very low severity. There have been 4 fatal accidents. One poor approach and hard landing, another low approach snagging some wires, severe wind shear in Mexico on approach, and improper build and CG problems in France. Some of the foreign accidents are very hard to get data for. 13 non-fatal accidents, you can read the list of why they occurred. Runs the gamut from fuel exhaustion to poor takeoff technique. The accident rate is very hard to tease out. I spent some time poring over the NTSB database and trying to figure out what the accident rate is, but since it's very, very difficult to figure out A, how many of these things are flying, and B, how much they fly each year, you know, you don't know what the rate is. But a rough estimate is about 4 fatal accidents per 100,000 flying hours. General aviation as a whole is about 1.4, so it's a little bit higher. Accident rate as a whole, non-fatal, is about 16 per 100,000 hours. GA is about 7.2. They're both a little higher. Some of these occur in very early phase one test period. That's a more dangerous test period for any aircraft flight. So, again, it's hard to tease out once people get out of their phase one 40-hour test period, what's the accident rate. I don't know. To me, this for an experimental aircraft, this seems not unreasonable. And, you know, pretty close to what general aviation is as a whole. So what are the costs of building one of these things and flying them? On the low end, people put them together for $25,000 to $40,000. The Nat, I think, has said that you could do it for the low 20s, and I think he's still living in 1991. This is if you buy a high-time engine, you're really good at scrounging, you make everything yourself, minimum instrument panel, VFR only. Mid-range is going to be in the 40 to 75 range, where maybe you buy a few prefab parts, you get a rebuilt engine, you put in a nice panel, but not a, you know, full-blown Learjet panel. And on the high end, you can get up into the 100K range, a lot of prefab components, maybe some paid help, new engine, and a complete IFR stack. you gotta remember, these are from plans, it's not a kit. You control what you spend, you control how much it's gonna cost you, you control what goes in it, and you control where you get the components. There are a number of support methods. The COSY newsletters are not being published anymore, but they're all available online. Aircraft Screws may have some on paper as back orders, I'm not sure. They're probably not printing any more of them, but you may be able to get some. I think Nat is still taking phone calls, although it may be difficult to find him, because sometimes he's in Arizona and sometimes he's in Minnesota. But there are a lot of other support methodologies. There's the COSY mailing list, as I mentioned before, I run this. This is online. We could probably get somewhere between 10 and 15 to 20 email messages per day with questions and answers and comments about building and flying these airplanes. There's the unofficial COSY Builders webpage, which has links to probably 40 or 50 other builders' webpages on it, with all of whom have tips and tricks and information about their build. So there's always pictures online to go look at. If you're working on the fuselage chapters, you can go on there and go, oh, that's what these plans are talking about here. There's the Kennard Aviators mailing list, which is a generic Kennard mailing list, but it's extremely useful for Kennard folks. And there's the CSA newsletter. Terry Schubert did an introduction of that in the Kennard Forum yesterday, and he runs that. That's a wonderful paper newsletter that comes out 4 times a year, again, with the same kind of advice and tips and tricks and information on building and flying these planes. How many COSYs are there? Well, again, hard to figure out. Search through databases online, and we think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 very big and very easy, long, easy to find for crew T racers. SP2000, velocity, blah, 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 blah. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000, maybe 2,500. Somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 250 COSYs flying all over the world. On the order of 1,600 sets of plans have been sold, and to my understanding, Aircraft Spruce is still selling on the order of 100 sets of plans a year. So for the past 15, 16 years, there's been a steady flow of plans, either from Nat or from Aircraft Spruce, at about 100 a year. There's probably about 600 or 800 aircraft under construction, and maybe 20 new flights per year, at least that I hear about. Brock Manufacturing closed their doors very suddenly at the beginning of 2006. They were the sole manufacturer of metal parts, proof metal parts for the COSY and Rutan Kennards. Two main vendors have taken over the manufacturer, the CG Products, which is online, and Easy Nose Lift. They sort of, there's some overlap in the parts they make, but some not, and both are available to get parts such as Kennard torque tubes, welded parts, engine mounts, things like that. Well, Spruce took over some of the inventory, but they're not manufacturing any. So there are other part vendors that make parts for COSYs. They're also listed online under the newsletter section on the web pages. So a little bit about building these things. I built a Quickie Q2 in a warehouse, and I started the COSY in a small basement. This was smaller than the size of a one-car garage, and I was able to build all the components, the fuselage, the spar, the landing gear, turtleback, canopy, both wings with the winglets on them, and the canard, all in this space. I mostly had stuff hanging from the ceiling after it was all fabricated, but you don't need to have a huge workspace to get started. And this workspace got me 3 years into the build before I needed to get a larger space. Other folks have done similar. People have cut holes in their dining room floors to get fuselage tubs out of their basements. Other people have built in studio apartments just to get started. So, again, you don't need a huge workshop in order to build a substantial part of the plane. There's all sorts of techniques, tips, and tricks out there for working on these planes. There's been a reasonable number of advancements in the 16, 17 years since Nat drew up the plans. There's vacuum bagging methodologies for doing layups, low vacuum bagging methods, peel ply plastic squeegeeing using hair dryers, which are talked about in the plans a bit for making the epoxy less viscous. There's finishing methods, There's a lot of information in the frequently asked questions list on the web and in other folks' web pages, especially people like Wayne Hicks or Rick Maddie. There's tons of ideas out there that can help you build the plane a little bit faster and a little bit better. I just got a couple of examples of flights that I've made. This was a Sun and Fun flight when I used to live in Massachusetts. This was approximately 6.5 hours in the air, one stop in Virginia, in Suffolk, Virginia. This was an easy day's flight in a cozy. This was moving to California when I did that almost 2 years ago to go work at scale. Started up here in Massachusetts, flew out to drop my son off at college, flew back to drop my wife off at some friends, flew down to visit my mother, a couple of stops out here, stayed overnight in with Kurt Smith, picked my wife up from flying commercial out here in Greeley, flew through the mountains, went down to Phoenix, stayed there for a couple of days, and then flew out here. This was all simple and easy and relaxing. This would have been a nightmare in a car pulling a trailer. So it's just wonderful kinds of trips. As I said, I came out here Tuesday in 10.4 hours in the plane. It's a long time sitting in a seat, but it's still very relaxing and very easy. Suppose you can go into a wide range of airports. While it is faster and it's not a bush plane, you can obviously fly into very large airports. I've been into McCarran to drop my wife off to take commercial flights. And this is Jaffrey, New Hampshire, which is 2,900 feet. It's about as wide as, well, not quite as wide as this stage here. And I think it was built by the Romans with the same cobblestones they built the roads through England with. I've also landed at Palo Alto. For a while, this was the shortest airport I landed at. Last year, I went up to Palo Alto, which is 2,400 feet. And with my wife and me and half fuel in the plane, we were off the ground on an 85-degree day in, maybe 1,500 feet. And landing there is no problem either. So, while you can't go into really rough fields, there's an awful lot of 2,400-foot fields all over the country that you can go into. Obviously, you got to take density altitude into account, Palo Alto's at sea level, but there aren't a whole lot of airports that you can't get into with this plane. Let's talk a little bit about the aircraft structure. I said before that there have never been any structural failures of a properly built aircraft, and that's true, but the lack of structural failures in the type is not a license to make any structural modifications that may strike your fancy, hoping that whatever the unknown safety factor is going to save your butt. We don't know what the safety factor is. No cozy has ever been tested to destruction, either wings or canard. So while none has ever broken, we don't know where they would break. That means that if you change something, you're even worse at knowing where it's going to break. The only known testing to failure that I know of is on one very easy canard that was done a long time ago, failed at 14 Gs. That's wonderful, but we don't put very easy canards on cozies. Well, at least one long easy wing test has been done, but for the life of me, I cannot find any data on what happened to it and what was collected. And as I said, no cozy structural testing has ever been done. So what do the parts of the plane do? Well, from a structural standpoint, everybody knows what the wings do, but the wings and canards, spars, when people talk about spars, they carry the bending loads. There's a spar cap on the top, there's a spar cap on the bottom. The bottom is generally in tension, the top is generally in compression. Those take all the flight loads, the lifting loads on the wings, and keep the wings from folding up. The shear web is the vertical part of the spar that connects the top spar cap to the bottom spar cap and allows the stress to flow between them and allows the two to work together rather than just sliding. You can imagine if the two of them weren't connected, they would just sort of go like that. The wing skins carry the twisting load. All wings have some twisting forces, torsion applied to them in flight from the lifting loads, and the wing skins close in the wing and take all that twisting load and keep the wing from twisting. In the fuselage, the bulkheads stiffen the fuselage in bending and twisting. The sides do the same thing. The longerons help to stiffen, but in fact, mostly they act as mounting hard points for canopy attach things, seat belt attach points. You just need the wood in there to have something to bolt through so that there's a hard point for the bolts. They don't do a lot of, they don't take a lot of the stress. And there's a lot of reinforcements on the landing gear bulkheads, on the firewall, seatbelt attach points, canard attach points. These thicken up the structure, transfer loads between major structures. The major load-bearing structure in the aircraft is right in the rear area, right up there where the landing gear comes up and the main spar connects and the wings attach. Pretty much all the stress flows through that area near the firewall and the main gear. And there's an awful lot of reinforcements in that area to help carry those loads. Some common modifications that are major are removing the lower winglets, and there are a few people, you'll see some cozies out here that have done that. Now, according to Matt, those are mandatory to have. They give you about a half inch more rear CG margin. Some people raise the canopy a bit, get a little more headroom, a little more shoulder room. Some people widen the canopy to get a little more shoulder room. There's long, easy type strakes that extend the strake a little forward so you get a little more arm room sitting inside. Some people have left the canard at the original length, but at some point during the flight testing process that I showed you with the weight sliding back and forth, Nat discovered that if the canard was 6 inches shorter, 3 inches on a side, that also gave a lot more deep stall margin to the aircraft, and that was another main mandatory change. There are some people that haven't done that for various reasons, but that is a change that that some folks have done. Some people have put on retractable main gear. That's not mandatory one way or the other. Nat doesn't like retractable gear. There are a number of cozies flying with retracts. They seem to be working reasonably well. And then, of course, there's engine alternatives. Subarus, rotaries, V8s. Again, Nat doesn't recommend those, but there are a number flying. A couple of rotaries, a couple of Subarus, a V8 down in South Africa. Then there's a lot of minor modifications that people put in. Electric nose gear, electric landing brakes, putting the landing lights somewhere other than on a little flapper thing that comes under your seat. Rudder pedals that hang from the top rather than come up from the floor, getting rid of the fuselage access door. There's an infinite number of little changes like that that are non-structural, non-aerodynamic, that either make things a little easier or a little sexier, and there's, like I said, there's tons of those. Yes, and none of us can figure out why they would want to do that other than that people are used to Cessnas and they feel comfortable with it, but the system is far more complex, harder to install, weighs more, and it's harder to use. Other than that, they're great, but I you know, we were sitting around scratching our heads going, the only reason we could think of that anybody would do that is that somebody who's used to flying a Cessna or a Cherokee or something says, I don't know how to deal with this system. But it only takes about 10 or 15 minutes to get used to doing braking and rudders with the same pedals. So beyond my comprehension.
24 years of
Cobra, you know. Yeah. So what's the future of the aircraft? Well, as I said, the planned sales are going strong. I mean, we're still selling 100 plans a year. If you go over to Aircraft Spruce, you look through their catalog, you see they own an awful lot of different plans. And they sell an awful lot of different plans. And I asked Jim Irwin, you know, well, how many other plans do you sell for the other aircraft that you own the rights to? And, you know, they'll sell, well, 5 of these and 12 of these and 7 of those. And they're selling 100 cozy plans a year. So for a plans-built plane, that's just terrific. There's new completions all the time. There is a slow evolution of derivatives that's beginning, and you're going to hear about one of them from Chris a little later. It's a great plane, great people involved. The community, the cozy community and the canard community are just absolutely wonderful. Everybody supports each other in a tremendous manner. I mean, I've had a number of issues where I got stuck somewhere and just everybody runs and helps out, and I've helped other people out that got stuck in places, and it just happens all over the place all the time. It's a wonderful community. And the aircraft obviously has great capabilities. So you got to ask yourself, is this what you're looking for? If it is, you know, join up. It's wonderful. So I'll take a couple of questions, and then and turn it over to Chris.
Mark,
good
question.
Yes.
Have you had any comparison of the accident and fatality stats versus just home building in general?
No. I use the NTSB website and I use the NOL report to try and pull data out, and the NOL report didn't really have it by home built, and I wasn't going to sort through all 84 trillion listings in the NTSB database to find the experimental. You could do it. I mean, you know, you could download the thing and probably set some program off running figuring out what was going on. But part of the thing is between the NTSB database and the FAA on available database, there's also some inaccuracies. So you might be able to get within 10 or 20%, but then also that's only the United States. So what do you do for the rest of the world? And there's some substantial number of experimentals and cozies other places, so it's difficult to tell. Anything else? Any other questions? Good question. I want to make that announcement. The cozy dinner is at, thank you, I owe you a dollar. Dinner is at Robin's Restaurant, which I am told is up 41, second exit, go east on Route 21, that's about a half a mile on the left. I haven't seen Daryl Lewis around. Is he here? Oh, there he is. There you are. There's Daryl waving in the back. If you're going to go and you haven't already told him you're going to go, tell him. And also, there are a few people, if you have a car and you're going, if you could meet up at the, Matt Barron's Cozy, in between A and C, I believe, is where the plane is parked. You can meet up there around 6 o'clock, because I'm sure there'll be some people that'll need rides. And so people who have cars and have seats available, and people who don't have cars and need a seat over there, if you could show up there and maybe collect a few people and help drive them over, that'd be real nice. And it supposedly starts at 7. Generally, people start showing up between 6 and 6:30. Robbins is never on time, so you just get more time to drink some beer before we start at anywhere between 7 and 8. Tonight, yes. Sorry, that's tonight.
What's on the agenda?
Drink beer, eat dinner, and I will be, because the Canard Forum and this forum I got so many volunteers to give presentations. I'm going to be doing, yesterday's forum I talked about my propeller loss over Joshua Tree National Park, and after dinner I'm going to give a presentation about what I'm trying to do to ensure that doesn't happen again, using Belleville washers to help hold the propeller on. Other than that, I'm not sure exactly what Daryl's got organized for the dinner. Maybe there may be a few awards or something, but, yeah, just, sit around and yak with other cozy folks.
Yes, I mentioned to you about the engine, Continental L360 ES. Anyone looking at Continental engine?
The question is whether anybody is thinking of putting a Continental IO360 into a cozy. I know there's one guy in Michigan who's planning on doing that. His question was just whether there's anybody else. Apparently not. Okay, let me turn this over to Chris here, and he will talk about his new plane. Let me get this set up here.